And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us. Bill, lock and load.
Hey, I've already got it locked and loaded. I've got my gun on my ankle, mm-hmm. and my holster on my ankle.
Yep.
One in the small of my back, ready to go.
Gotcha.
And I've got the judge, which is a pistol that shoots a 410 for snakes.
Okay.
I've got that ready.
Got the judge ready.
Yeah, in case the snakes show up.
Gun sales in America, historic levels right now.
People are walking into gun stores and going, give me that one.
And that one.
And that one. And they don't even know how to operate
a
firearm.
It's double the sales of last year, roughly. Ammo.com says they're up 600%, Bill.
You walk into Cabela's and the shelves are empty of ammunition.
Here's a comment from Eric Erickson. You know Eric?
No.
He's a conservative commentator, Christian guy, is my understanding. He said, keep your powder dry, 393 million firearms in America. As the cultural revolutionaries fire up in the country, that number gives me some peace of mind. So that's his comment. My comment, I'm not sure. The way things are looking, you get 100,000 mobsters coming into your safe little communities. They burn your house, rape your family. The police are not coming if you call. And here's the other thing. The police will come if you shoot. They will come to arrest you. You see what I'm saying? So that's the difference here, Bill. There's a whole different worldview operating right now. It's not as simple as Eric is making it out to be. I'm not sure what's going to prevent these cities from burning themselves to the ground except revivals, true faith, and repentance before Almighty God. I don't see any other solution here.
Right. And I would take both of you and sit you down and say, on the one hand, you have a hand of restraint. And that is, you defend your family, if
yes.
necessary.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you offer a hand of hope to those who are trapped in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's both situations. And too often what we see on the news incites us to a vigilante mentality.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And then there, on the extreme on the other side is, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We just need to tell them about Jesus. And the answer is, well, when evil comes knocking at your door, you provide the gospel, but you defend your family at the same time. I can choose to lay down my life. I can't choose to lay down my family's life or your life. I have to defend life.
Sure. You have a responsibility to defend your family.
Yes.
That's a classic Nehemiah 4:14. But I'm not sure about this me and my 45 mentality to take away my gun when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers mentality. Not sure how far that's going to keep us. Friends,
because you're right. I mean, what's going to happen is when the police show up at your door and they demand that you turn over your weapons, and what are you going to say? No.
Yeah.
They've already thought through every possible objection, every possible action you're going to take. They're not only at your front door, they're on your back door, they're on your roof.
And they got a helicopter,
that's
too.
That's right.
And you don't have the helicopter.
And you don't have the helicopter.
Yeah,
you can't run, you can't hide.
Count the cost. If a king comes against you, count the cost. Figure out whether you've got what it takes to overcome all these forces. Friends, the bottom line here is we need a godly magistrate. I mean, come on. What is it that we need? Do we need to spend all of our money on ammo and a few extra 45s? Or do we disciple our kids? Disciple the nations. Disciple the young men in our churches. Friends, the only solution will be a civil magistrate, local county commissioners, and a sheriff with a degree of integrity and a degree of principle such that they will defend your rights and stand up for that which is right and avenge be God's avenger to him who does evil in the county. It's time to reform society with solid civil leaders here. And here's the key. Not in Washington, D.C., in our communities.
Right.
It's going to be a whole lot easier to elect some president to fix the whole country, we think. But actually, it won't be. You know why? Because it won't do any good. In lieu of the fact that it would be super easy to elect a president, I think we're going to have to do the hard work to disciple young men Men with integrity, character, courage, and faith in God. Men who fear God in our communities. Friends, that's the solution here. I'm sorry, but the systems are broken. So we're going to have to bring our focus, our vision, down to something a little more doable, but would require more work. And so what is that? Well, here's one way it could work, Bill. Disciple 15 young men in your families and in your local church, two of which will become county commissioners in the year 2025. One will become the sheriff. Meanwhile, disciple another 40 young men with some level of level-headedness, faith, and integrity to support the county commissioners and the sheriff. And I think this is the only solution, because how in the world are we going to be able to sustain as a community unless we have stable families, one solid church, two solid churches, four solid churches? And that is the basis of a decent community. God will still use Christians to be the salt of the earth and the light in this dark world. And that includes the 21st century, Bill. That hasn't changed.
Truth doesn't change. If it changes, then it ain't true.
And we still have the obligation, friends, to be the salt in our communities. And that common grace is going to come from solid Christian churches, good Christian families that are faithfully discipling their children. You know, we have five or six pastors in this community that have been gathering for prayer weekly on a regular basis, nonstop for, 12 weeks now. That's pretty much every evangelical pastor in this valley. Isn't that something?
It is.
Now, we can't fix Denver. We can't fix Colorado. We can't fix the United States. But we can be faithful right here in this valley where the Lord has put us. And that's the mentality of these guys. And you know what, Bill? It's made a difference, a huge difference. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Hello, dads. Come this August, it'll be about time to get out of the house and up into the clear mountain air of the Colorado Rockies with your sons. It almost goes without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together, and what would be better than to spend the time in the Word in the mountains, along with some good fellowship with a couple of hundred brothers in Christ from around the country. Guys, let's get our sons out of the house and back into God's grand creation. We'll turn off the electronic media, recharge in the Word, and renew relationships. And fill up your tank with some faith talks, encouragement for the battle, and a refocus on the centrality of God. This year, we're bringing Mike Snavely back, our best creationist speaker for fathers and sons. Bill Roach and yours truly also bringing some talks. Come on down to our annual Colorado Father-Son Retreat at Sky Ranch Camp in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, August 27th to the 30th. The price is only $229 for dads and $139 for sons right now. That includes all meals and board. It's 4 days of fellowship, teaching, and adventure, including a rifle shooting range, bowling, water slides, indoor racquetball court, world-class recreation center, rock climbing, and a whole lot more. For more information, check out ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me today. And Bill, we're facing a very significant economic downturn in this country. Apparently, the National Bureau of Economic Research said America is officially in recession. The first quarter, 5% slip on GDP. Second quarter, heading towards, get this, a 50% slip on GDP. So it's going to be big. But there's a weird lull going on right now. It seems like we're in the eye of a storm.
Part of that, I think, is because we've had relief from the government, and we're kicking the can down the road a couple of months.
Yeah, we're partying a little bit, having a little party in the stateroom as the Titanic is... What's that noise?
Yeah.
What's that noise? Okay. So, friends... it turns out, too, people are kicking their mortgage a couple of months down. It's 9% of mortgages, some 5 million mortgages, payments delayed. So nothing's happening now, but what's going to happen in 3 months from now, 4 months from now, 5 months from now? It seems to me the Band-Aid placed over the sore is probably not going to last forever.
No, there's maybe a hemorrhaging elephant underneath the Band-Aid.
Could be. Well, here's the World Bank forecasts a 5.2% drop for the gross world product in 2020. This recession will be, quote, the largest fraction of economies worldwide experiencing decline in per capita output since 1870, Bill. That's significant. That's really significant. But friends, I want to step back for a moment. I want to look at Great Depressions. Great Depressions are a blessing. And let me give you a couple of reasons. Great Depressions are a blessing. I said that. Didn't I just say that?
I think you said
Great
it twice,
Depressions are a
three
blessing.
Times, four times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great, this is a blessing. They're a blessing for a lot of reasons, friends, but let's be sure that we always maintain the Romans 8:28 outlook as Christians. The Romans 8:28 outlook is what? All things work together for
good.
So let's retain that perspective all the time, friends. That's basic. Be sure that your metaphysic, make sure your worldview, make sure your view of God as totally sovereign, as the one who can work all things out to good for us. As we love him, as we are in relationship with him, as we're walking with him, we know that dad is going to do things well. We know that dad is going to work it all out. We just know that it's so basic to a Christian basic worldview perspective. Well, let me give you some historical reasons, Bill. Back in the 1920s and 1930s, I'm actually doing a book called The Rise and Fall of the West, as you know. I've spent the last 20,000 words over the last 4 days working very diligently on the slow but steady decline morally of the UK and the United States since roughly the 1860s. Okay, so I've worked very, very hard in this little piece of it. And the US and the UK were on the verge of legalizing abortion in 1930. And then the Great Depression hit, and then World War II. Okay? By the mercies of God. Now, people are saying, you're saying that that came by the mercies. Yes. The Great Depression and World War II came by the mercies of God, my friends. The Conference of Cooperative Women in the UK called for the legalization of abortion in 1934. In 1929, abortion was legalized in the UK for the first time for the health of the mother. And in the U.S., and people say, what about the U.S.? U.S., Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, and others, lots of others, were pro-eugenics. Do you know where all the bathrooms that were separated, you know how the African-Americans needed to use the bathroom like way across the parking lot of these government bureaucracies? And you know they even had separate coffee pots? Do you know that? In some of these government administration buildings and such? Do you know where that came from? That came from Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson. More so Woodrow Wilson.
Yep.
Woodrow Wilson was one of the most racist and pro-eugenicist presidents this nation ever had. Woodrow Wilson was, as in my view, towards the bottom of the barrel when it came to American presidents. And also Buck v. Bell had just happened in 1927. Don't forget Buck v. Bell. That was the Supreme Court decision in which a forced sterilization was pressed upon a woman because of the eugenicist theories of Charles Darwin, and it was Oliver Wendell Holmes was at the front of that one. Oliver Wendell's most famous comment in all of history was this: three generations of imbeciles is enough. And so he forced a sterilization upon Carrie Buck in Buck v. Bell in 1927. He was a disciple of Ralph Waldo Emerson. He served as a U.S. Supreme Court justice from 1902 to 1932, and it was Holmes that claimed the law is not a brooding omnipresence in the sky. Men make their own laws, and these laws do not flow from some mysterious omnipresence in the sky. This is Oliver Wendell Holmes. He said, values have no transcendent sanction. He said, man is an idealizing animal who happens to express his laws and conventions. Constitutions and laws are living, organic institutions meant to be changed by political leaders and judges as they see fit. Now, that is exactly the turn towards radical socialism, radical humanist materialism, the radical evil forms of morality that we have embraced over the last 30 to 40 years, friends. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes that set the direction, and yet the Great Depression happened, and yet World War II came, and it gave just a bit of a delay to the breakdown of the Western world. And you have to admit, It broke. In other words, you had America moving towards abortion, towards homosexuality, to everything in the 1920s. Remember the Roaring Twenties? The Roaring Twenties were stopped by a Great Depression, 1929, and then World War II. And the whole thing was kicked off, Bill, for 30 years. God gave us a 30-year reprieve in the destruction of the West. Why? Because he brought the Great Depression and World War II. Praise God. He pulled the plug on this nonsense with the Great Depression. Now, will we get another Great Depression and World War III? I don't know. For all the nonsense that we've had to put up with over the last 40 years. Wouldn't you say we've had to put up with some nonsense over the last 40 years, Bill?
Yeah, I've lived through most of it. Yeah.
You look like it.
Yeah.
You look a little rough around the edges.
It's depressing.
All things considered.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, friends, that depressions can be a blessing. Why? Bill, it's a wake-up call. Let's face it. God sends a wake-up call. He humbles a nation. And, Bill, that's good. That's good. Yeah, we go through tough times, but you know what? It's for our good. These trials are for our good. And here's one more thing. Prosperity can make you lazy. Prosperity almost always leads to decadence, diversions. And we forget that we have a mission in life. Try out this analogy. Bill, we're sailing to Africa in a cruise ship. But it's kind of like a mission trip, but it's really, we're sailing to Africa on a cruise ship. And we're doing all these wonderful delights all the way over to Africa. And on the way, Bill, we forget that we're on mission for Jesus to Africa. You follow me there?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for depressions. God humbles us. God gives us a better perspective. You know how you can kind of lose perspective? God wakes you up to it. He gives you perspective. Okay, I'm giving you some positives here. Here's one more thing. Bad times can also make us more dependent on God. When you got a bunch of money in your pockets, got a lot of money in the bank, you begin to act a little independent of God. We're not as dependent on Him for our daily bread. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Give us this day our annual bread, isn't it?
Our annual entitlement.
Our annual entitlement. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Our annual Social Security check.
Right.
No, that's not what it says.
No?
Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing.
It's a dependence upon Him moment by moment.
That's right. And so, friends, if it goes through trials, and I'm not just talking about some big economic depression. I'm also talking about trials that we go through in our lives. It's not bad for a lot of reasons. Number one, because God said all things work together for good. But, friends, we become more dependent on God day by day, not just for our material needs, but also for our spiritual needs. Here's one more thing, Bill. Bad times are also good because they show us that the government can't save us. Man, I'm looking forward to a time in which people realize, you know what? There's a point at which governments run out of other people's money. Are you looking forward to that day, Bill?
Yeah.
I think I am. When, you know, people don't say, you know what, government can just print another $80 trillion, we'll be okay. You know, and so, friends, the poor in our community are so well padded by government welfare and 1,000 government services. The church is virtually irrelevant in these areas, Bill. The church is just not relevant. Wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be profitable? Wouldn't it be great if the church became relevant again? You know, the diaconate of the church. Again, what if government failed? What if government can't save us from Great Depressions? Oh, by the way, you know, most economists today, I've read economists from various perspectives on the Great Depression. You know what they say? They say that government's attempt to save us from the Great Depression only made it worse.
Made it worse, extended the depression by many years.
Yeah, it was governments that made it great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm afraid that's probably going to happen again. But friends, at some point, we're going to realize that governments can't save you. And also, here's one more thing. One of the things that you're going to determine, it doesn't matter what happens. I was trying to encourage my wife a little bit about, you know, all of the crazy things going on around us. And that, you know, the world is shaking. God is shaking heaven and earth. But what does it say in Hebrews 12? That the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And there's something cool about that. Bill, when you realize that in all of the shaking, there's always something that cannot be shaken, and it remains, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. So let me close with this. This is Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though mountains shake with its swelling. Bill, this is the picture of Mount Everest or Pikes Peak thrown into the middle of the sea. You start to see stuff like that. You go, whoa, dude, this is like massive transition. This is some pretty significant change going on in my world. But then what does it say? It says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be the river that makes glad the city of God and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. What? God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of the church. She shall not be moved. God will help her. And that just at the break of dawn. So in all of this, Bill, no reasons to worry, no reason to be anxious.
Because we don't put our trust in horses. We don't put our trust in money. We put our trust in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Friends, get a historical perspective on this. I encourage you to our resource, America in God's Providence, to get a better idea for how God has sustained the nation, how God has provided a blessing for this nation through the generations. So grab a copy of America in God's Providence, in which we tell the story of, you know, this is not the first time we've gone through trials. This is not the first time God has brought his mercies and his judgments upon a nation. We trace his mercies and judgments in this little book, America in God's Providence, available at our website, generations.org. We'd really encourage you to give your children a little sense of how God works upon a nation through the centuries. And especially if you are American, but if you are also interested in how God works in history, get a copy of America in God's Providence available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.